Welcome to the Veritas Equipping Podcast, a podcast designed to provide insight, resources, and biblical wisdom. Our mission as Veritas Church is raise up mature disciples, send out everyday missionaries, glorify God. Join us as we pursue Jesus to become mature disciples and effective disciple makers for God's glory. Church, welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Message here hosted on the Equipping Podcast. Just again, once a reminder, we are going to be transitioning this podcast to its own feed here shortly, so stay tuned for when that happens. But for now, this is Sam coming to you again this morning, and I am joined by Jake.
Hey.
Good morning, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Fantastic. All right, church. So again, in this podcast series, Beyond the Message, we just take some time to sit down with the pastor who preached on Sunday and talk through the text and ask a little bit more questions, going deeper into maybe some more of the context of what was going on in the message or some more practical application, which we always want to do. We know God's word is applicable and it's meant to be lived out in our lives. While it's not all about us, God has given us his word so that we continue to see transformation and sanctification in our lives. So, Jake, yesterday we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And in that text, you pointed out this ongoing challenge for the church in Corinth to take seriously the sin of their leader who had been undermining his authority, and they did. And then this man repented, and he's now challenging them to take forgiveness seriously. So in a wild turn of events, your big idea yesterday was take both sin and forgiveness seriously.
Yeah.
Jake, in that text yesterday, first question, anytime we jump into this Beyond the Message series, if you had more time to expand on anything or include something else, what would that be?
Yeah, a couple things came to mind with that question. One, in verse 11, he mentions Satan. And anytime you mention Satan or the devil or demons in a very modern context, you feel like, oh, I wish I had a lot of time to unpack that. What does the Bible teach about the spiritual world? Because our modern mindset just kind of, that seems so fairy tale-ish. So, I wish I had more time to, okay, the text brings up this spiritual character. Mm-hmm. Let's give some background there. We just didn't have the time to do the background on that. And then also probably Paul's, it wasn't the main thrust of the text, but Paul's just example and how he handled, being offended.
Yeah,
and didn't make it about him and had a bigger picture, and Paul's somebody that's hard to offend. And so we talked a little bit about that and just kind of went on to get to what I think the text was talking about. But that would have been a good thing to spend some more time on as well.
I know that we've talked about this in the past, but just that spiritual reality. I think we did a series a while back about Into the Weird when we talked through kind of angels, demons, spiritual warfare. So yeah. If that's something that you're like, what? Where's even a place to start? That would be
was that a podcast? Good spot to jump back.
Yeah, we did that.
Into the Weird.
I think it was in the Revelation series.
Oh, sure.
Was that kind of at the end of Revelation? We were like, hey, there's a bunch of other stuff in here
that checks
we
out.
We want to touch on. So, yeah, but I think even just in that too, the spiritual reality, like we are not primarily just physical beings in matter. Like the gospel applies to spiritual matters, which mm-hmm. is more than just our physical reality.
Yeah, and even more than just the situation of the text on being outwitted by Satan and the schemes to undermine the plans of God, this character gets mentioned, and we just never really spend time on who is this person?
Yeah.
What's he like? Where did he come from? What's the object? Like, yeah, we just don't spend a lot of time on demonology. And so, if I had another 2 days, we could
just have a seminar real quick.
Yeah, but that's to answer your question. If we had more time,
yeah, that's good. So, in that your big idea, taking both sin and forgiveness seriously. What's some practical ways that this plays out on a personal level for us to both take sin and forgiveness seriously?
Yeah, so to take those in two categories. One, if to take sin seriously in your life, what you watch, what you read, what you think about, guarding your mind, guarding your eyes, mm-hmm. What you take in, like caring about your content consumption of, is this good, leading my soul to praise God and to draw close to Him, or is this seeding or sowing seeds of worldliness?
Right.
So I think taking sin seriously, those little things matter. And I think we often think, well, it doesn't matter what I watch, I'm not doing it. Mm-hmm. But we don't understand how it affects us. So I think to take sin seriously is in just all the things we consume.
Yeah.
Is one way we take sin seriously. Another way we take sin seriously is our efforts to put it to death. The Bible, in fact, we talked about this a while back, and I think somebody on Facebook was like, why such violent language?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Well, yeah. The comment was like, I'm just shocked by the aggressive nature of killing sin. It's like, well, it's in the Bible.
Yeah, that was toned down from Paul. The Bible uses very graphic, violent language towards our sin. We're to kill it. We're to put it to death. We're not to manage it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times that's an example of not taking sin seriously. I'm just trying to manage it. I don't want it to get out of control. It's, you know, it's like having a pet boa constrictor. It's like, well, it's in its cage. I'll just keep him, you know.
Yeah.
When it's like, I get out and eat you. You know, and I think we take that approach to sin of, I'm just trying to manage it. I don't want to get out of control. But to kill it is like, I need to confess it. I need to drag it into the light. I need to take drastic measures. You talk to people that are in a struggle with alcohol, and it's like, dude, don't go into a bar. Like, that's not, I'm not saying everybody shouldn't go into a bar, but you can't, like, your struggle is calling you that, or you have a struggle with pornography. It's like, get a flip phone, like, put it to death. Like, and it's like, no, I mean, I don't. And we're not willing to take those drastic measures to really put sin to death. So I think those are some examples of taking sin seriously, taking forgiveness seriously. Not to overextending it. Don't be quick to forgive. We had a lot of questions Sunday about the application of forgiveness when somebody's not repentant.
Yeah.
Which is a conversation needed to have, because it takes two to reconcile. Mm-hmm. It takes one to forgive. But based on the text, I mean,
well, even if, like, is it a believer or unbeliever? Like,
right. I mean, there's a lot of things.
Like James 5, like Michael's message at the end of James 5 was like, pursue the wanderer. Like, there's a lot of other places in scripture.
Yeah.
But here it is like, no, this guy did repent. And it seems like the church is having a hard time forgiving him. And so it's
the easy one is like, you got a believer, they're repentant.
Right.
We should be forgiving. Yeah. That's the text. Now, the complications of relationships of, hey, this person's not a believer, they're not really repentant.
Yeah.
But to take forgiveness seriously is to extend it, to eat it, to not make things like hold an offense for long periods of time, to be quick to extend that forgiveness, to bring it and connect it to the forgiveness you've received in Christ. It's easy when we've been sinned against to kind of foster this self-righteous attitude because we're the innocent party here.
Right.
But we also need to see ourselves as fellow offenders and be quick to forgive.
Well, it's almost, I mean, you call that, you know, Paul's humility in this, where he is quick to not make it about himself, even though there is a reality of
it was about
him. It was about him.
Yeah.
Do you think most oftentimes our problem in minimizing our own sin is we're making it too much about ourselves, and in minimizing the forgiveness we give others is we're making it too much about ourselves?
Oh, to truly be about another person in that moment of like, okay, yes, you did kind of slander about me, and I could try to defend myself and want justice in that, but to truly die to yourself and be like, okay, what's going on in your life that you felt like you needed to do that? Were you trying to gain the approval of other people by cutting me down? And then start to have compassion, like, oh, you operate out of a place of hurt. These are the lies you're believing. And then you want what's best for them. You want their freedom. And freedom is found in confession and coming to Christ for redemption. And that has nothing to do with you as the offended person. That's really focusing on their heart and where they're coming from.
Yeah, because the reconciliation that then can take place is not just between the two part, between you and another individual. It's like, no, we get to turn and run to Christ together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is less about me. This is less about you.
Yeah.
And I mean, you go back to the classic example of David and Bathsheba. Like, what's the psalm say when he's repenting of that and confessing? And he says, against you, O Lord,
yeah.
and you alone have I sinned.
Yeah.
Which he's not negating.
Yeah, but his ultimate offense is but God.
Right.
And I think we have to see that when we're dealing with other people. But you have to have self-forgetfulness of like, it's not about me. I'm fine. I know who I am. Now I'm free to look at the other individual and say, okay, what's going on in your heart that led you to do this? And how do I truly minister to you?
That's good. That's super good. Okay, third question here. What are some... Oh, no, actually, I had a part two on that one.
Part two.
So, my bad. Part two, practically taking sin and forgiveness seriously. On a personal level, that was that. But what about as a church? What does this look like for us collectively together as a local church?
Yeah, organizationally, taking sin seriously is practicing church discipline. That you know, we actually carry out Matthew 18, 1 Corinthians 5. A lot of churches don't do that, and I understand why. Mm-hmm. It's messy. It's not fun, but it's important, and I think to take sin seriously, you have to discipline in the church. And every true believer should want it. And the interesting thing is, when you're not in the moment, you do express that you want it. It's when you're when you're in the midst of it, then it's not as fun. But for a church, taking sin seriously is to practice church discipline. A church that takes forgiveness seriously is to practice church restoration.
Yeah,
you know, to restore the repentant believer.
Which that's the heart of church discipline.
Yeah.
Right. For restoration in the gospel, not just a, hey, we're going to call you out, make an example of you.
That's a part of it. But I remember Mark Arendt was super helpful in me of just saying, hey, church discipline works every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It either works in you protected the flock from an unrepentant person, or you help restore a repentant person. It may not get the outcome you want, but it works every time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay, third question here. What are some things that we should avoid saying so that we aren't unintentionally minimizing sin to extend forgiveness?
I mean, I think the natural human thing of just like, oh, it's no big deal. You know, don't worry about it.
That's okay.
It's fine. It's okay. And to be like, no, it's not okay. What I did was wrong. Like to own the reality of sin. And it's important to do that so we don't minimize grace.
Yeah.
Because anytime we try to downplay sin, we inadvertently downplay grace.
That was my part too. What should we intentionally say to make sure we're maximizing grace?
Yeah.
In the process of forgiveness.
To call sin, to own it. And I understand the emotional sentiment when someone's like apologizing, you don't want to be like, it's no big deal. And in reality, it may have been like, I didn't even think of it. Like it hadn't bothered me. Like, no, really, we're fine. And that could be a very true statement.
Yeah. And in that, you can say, thank you for confessing. Like, thank you for bringing that.
Yeah.
I think it's both if the offender addresses it and brings it up, and the person's like, oh, it's not a big deal. The offender should be like, no, it is a big deal. I know that I received forgiveness from Jesus in this, but I also need you to see, like, this is part of our, like,
one of the biggest things I'm convinced that's working against us is our hatred of conflict. And it's just uncomfortable. And we want to get out of uncomfortable as fast as possible. So if you come to me and it's like, hey, you know, I said this about you, and I just, this is uncomfortable. It's no big deal. Let's just talk about anything other than this and kind of just brush it to the side instead of dealing with things head on. And if we don't deal with little sins head on with the reality, and again, I don't think there's anything such as a little sin when we understand it, but we won't deal with the big things well.
Yeah.
So
even the like, if nothing is said, but a thought creeps in, like, How powerful is that to display the gospel of like, hey, Jake, when you said this, I was really frustrated, and here's what I was thinking, but I need you to know, like, I know that that's not true. Yeah. And I sinned against you in that. Like, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Praise God. Now yeah. we get to like, praise God that we have that ability to not just let, you know, division fester or like mm-hmm. anger thoughts to continue to rise up. I think yeah. I forget the book, but it just talks about like confessing small and confessing mm-hmm. quick. Maybe Jordan, I think, talked about that in one of his, mm-hmm. where it's just about like confessing, where it's like, yeah, you don't have to confess large, massive, scandalous sins if you just confess the little ones along the way.
Yeah.
Like
small humiliations prevent big humiliations.
Yeah, that's good. That's a way better way to say it.
But you want to be quick and upfront with those struggles. But to not downplay them is, don't say it's fine. Don't say it's no big deal. Thank them for confessing. The grace is sufficient. Express, I forgive you. We practice with our kids that we need to say, please forgive me. Mm-hmm. And what are you supposed to say when somebody says, please forgive me? You're supposed to say, I forgive you. Not, don't worry about it. It's no big, like, yeah. No, they ask for forgiveness. You extend forgiveness. Don't downplay it. So that was just a simple thing we did with our kids. Like, hey, mm-hmm. say, please forgive me. Now, what do you say? I forgive you. And that's restorative.
What about like, I think even too, goes like so hard into like the holy role, but like really, I mean, how restorative is it just to pray together? Like you can end in rejoicing of like proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah.
Jesus, thank you for the forgiveness that we've received from you. I mean, cause then it really does. It doesn't make it about the offender. Yeah. It doesn't make it about the offended. It makes it about maximizing the grace that we've received from Christ.
Well, I think a lot of things that play out in parenting can be helpful in relationships too.
Yeah.
I know with kids sometimes, it's not just that you sinned against mom, you sinned against a holy God.
Yep.
So that's the bad news,
yep.
right? Your sin is worse than you realize. The good news is not only does mom forgive you, God offers you forgiveness yep. in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
So to help, I mean, every offense is an opportunity to preach the gospel.
Yeah. So we should basically just deal with each other like we're children, right? Because if we approach conflict like it's a parenting scenario, which, I mean, really it is, like that requires a lot of grace. It requires a lot of intentionality. But if we're just trying to escape conflict or quickly move past stuff, we're not going to take the time to slow down and point back to the cross, point back to our need for ongoing grace and reconciliation that we have. So
for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Jake, thanks for being here. Church, let's make sure that we continue to take both sin and forgiveness seriously. Church, praying for you. As always, reach out if there's something that we can continue to engage in, or if you have questions, if there's something that comes up on a Sunday and you would like it to be considered for something that we talk about in these podcasts, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@veritaschurch.org. Thanks. Love you guys.